Okay, this is from The Anatomy of Healing Prayer. The chapter is What is Spiritual Mind Healing? And I don't know if maybe every speaker says this who's coming out of this, we're talking about this book here. But Ernest Holmes died in the early 60s, what, 61, 62, something like that, I believe. So this chapter, this talk, was probably done in the 50s. So when we're thinking of, when we start talking about the evolution of understanding, the evolution of metaphysical thinking and what we know about the world, kind of got to keep that in perspective. This is 1950s thinking, or the best, the primo evolution of Holmes's thinking by the 50s. And he's been working on this for a long time. So a lot of this chapter is just bang, 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 one after another. If you read it fast to yourself, it's a kind of like Ernest Holmes on speed. It's really quite extraordinary. It's just, here it comes. Here's a way to talk about it. Here's a way to talk about it. Here's another way to talk about it. Here's somewhere that somebody else talks about it. And these other people talk about it this way, and they're all saying the same thing. Ta-da. So I'm going to read to you more than I do normally. I like reading Ernest Holmes out loud. He's an orator. And so he's talking, and somebody's taking this note, you know, transcription. So here we go, talking about what is spiritual mind healing. And this is chapter 10 in this book. So a lot has already been discussed. And here we go. So we're living in a spiritual universe governed by mental law, and that all substance itself, whether it's formed or formless, is merely mind in action. So what is form, substance, you can touch, you can hear, smell, etc., things you interact with your senses, or what isn't available to your senses. It's all the same thing. And Spinoza back in the day said that, I don't say mind is one thing and matter is another, but I say they are the same thing. And then Quimby says, mind is matter in solution, and matter is mind in form. So what you talk is mind creation in form, interact with our senses. And so what we're, and that the Bible says that the invisible things of God from the foundation of the world are manifest by the visible. It does, none of this makes any difference. It's all the same thing. And we have a visitor. No. What we're really saying, or like Einstein said, energy and mass are equal, identical, and interchangeable. Their mass, they are all saying that what you see and what you do not see is the same thing, except that what you do not see is what you do see when you can see it, when you can see. When you can see. So it's about one's own capacity, one's own evolutionary process. And that all of them, all these people are all talking about the same thing. And something that's very important is that they all agree we're not talking about faith healing. We're talking about a scientific, rational process, that this is how it goes. And so there's somebody else that says this argument logically presented to mind produces this result. The explanation is the cure. Now, this is very interesting because 75 to 90% of all healing that has ever been done in the medical physical field has been done by a process of argument, of affirmation and denial, followed by as much realization as the person has at that time. So what you see is what you can see, is what you can see, where you're at with your evolutionary process related to your interaction with truth, capital R, reality. And so it's followed by as much realization as the person has at that time. Because no matter how much they all these speakers and philosophers and thinkers, no matter how much they all contradict each other in the new thought field, they all, when it comes to practice, they all do exactly the same thing. And so all of these folks are agreeing with this process of evolution that occurs over time. And so we don't believe in a divine plan. The creative principle operates in such a way that it automatically and arbitrarily supplies the evolving instrumentality with everything necessary to complete its journey. Browning called it a spark that disturbs our clod, C-L-O-D. It's Atman in Hinduism, Christ. It is Avatar. It is a Buddha. And all it means is this, that the incarnation of the divine, it is the incarnation of the divine in the mundane. The divine is in everything. And Genesis referred to the generation of the time when the plant was in the seed. The plant was in the seed before the seed was in the ground. The divine idea before it was embodied by a process of law and action and reaction was entirely spontaneous, and every seed contained it. Spirit is the power that knows itself. And so what it is, we know that this is the divine that is in everything. Everything is sacred. Everything is of this creation. We live and breathe and swim and exist and think and play and are within. We imagine, we fantasize, we create within creation. It's all the same thing. And so there's no great amount of spiritual power, in Holmes's estimation, that is delivered to anyone. And I don't mean that a God withholds it and delivers it, but one just can't take it until one takes it in its own nature. And its own nature is unity and goodness and truth and beauty and reason. God doesn't withhold it and deliver it. It's just that we can't take it until we can reach it. We're back to, and once we are this level, this capacity, once we are at a point where we realize, live, be, are fully unity and goodness and truth and beauty and reason, then we are there with it. It's there all the time. It's just, what can we take? What can we be? Who can we be? Well, back in the day, people were walking around on the earth and there were no distractions. There was hunting, gathering, staying alive, surviving, watching out for the things that can end your life or hurt you. And there are no radios, no airplanes, there's no television. Back in the day, you lived and you worked, you grew food, you created something in exchange for other people give you what you need so you can eat and stay warm and dry and out of the weather. If you sit in a field, you're sitting in a field. If you're sitting in your shelter, you're sitting in your shelter. There's nothing else going on. There are no great distractions. There's just you and the physical world and your mind. And it's pretty much that way all day, every day. there's some educational opportunities. Eventually, you could read books. And when you put it down, you've put it down. It's not running in the background except in your mind. So it's a lot simpler to have control over your mind and your focus and your evolutionary process as a spiritual being back in the day. Now, oh man, people are living on screens all the time. There's an issue of people, you know, we have influencers online. That's their whole purpose for being, is getting you to be different from how you are, to be more like what they think you should be like, because then they get paid by ads for telling you that. You got people who are trying to turn into being somebody else, like their own self isn't enough, that they're going to turn into whatever they're watching on screens. You know, the everything can be different to look like that person, or look like Taylor Swift, or be Taylor Swift, or be whoever it is. But somehow we got lost. A lot of people are getting lost with, no. It's about your own individual showing up as divine form. It's all about who are you? Now, this has a whole lot to do with what we're doing with our minds. And here's some more. We suffer, not because of some judgment imposed upon us, but because of the judgment of ignorance. We're just ignorant about what is the truth, what is unity and goodness and truth and beauty and reason, and that we can be it. And so what Emerson said is that there's no sin but ignorance, and no salvation but enlightenment. That this is what I think is the part we play in evolution, as well as all people who believe this way, which is a lot of people around the world to some extent. It is a natural law that the universe in which we live is a spiritual system and makes sense. But ignorance of the law excuses no one from its effect. And if these are, you know, then he says, I love this. If these things are true, why doesn't the Bible tell you that? Well, the Bible does not give you a recipe for pancakes, much less this type of thing. Something new is emerging in the world. And this is not an old philosophy that's warmed over, or some religion with a little bit of something added. This is itself, according to the eternal verities of the universe, taking place at all times, and as entirely new things appear, and that science can recognize it. There is a principle back of all evolution which responds to the demand made upon it in terms of good, bad, indifferent, right, wrong, as we understand it, as we grow into it, as we realize it, as we, it's like the filters and the expectations and the, yeah, I got to deal with the world right here in front of me. I have to eat. I have to do whatever. I have to sleep. I have to stay safe. I got to make sure I watch out for the lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. But once we start to evolve in our way of being and in our thinking and our capacity then for realization, for understanding, for being able to be, enlightened, what we're able to be, how we're able to be, how are we able to function within creation as creation expands. And it's just by reacting, and reacts by corresponding exactly like a mirror. There is infinite intelligence back of it. And so we should look back to that principle operating, where whenever a demand is put upon it, it will answer in terms of the demand being made. So there comes our expectation, because we're living within creation. We're living of and as creation. And so what do we expect? What are we demanding from the life that we're living? And it's not, I'm giving out orders and demands. No, it's just that life, here's how it is. that's demand. Here's how it is. Here's the reality of our beingness. And so this is not a religion of there's a God out there that's deciding who, you know, like Santa Claus, who's been good, who's been bad, who's going to hell, who's going, you know, get have a good life, who's going to get punished. It's not like that. It's not like, you know, people living as oppressed and in the valley of dry bones and being attached to a life that doesn't belong to it. You know, that's not how it goes, but we all have done that. Here's how my life is, or whatever, but it's not reality. It's not truth. As we try to conceive that there is no otherness, there's no difference, there's no opposition, that everything that is an effect is a sequence of a cause set in motion without knowing why. But then we start to understand that ignorance is the only sin there is. We can see that no one could measure the possibility of thought. No one could say that it cannot be that way. That we're all saying, oh yeah, we can. Because if we can't say that, oh yeah, it can be that way, if we're not saying that, then there's a chunk of us, some part of us is saying, yeah, it probably is that way. Or it's probably, you know, not that way. If we can't say that, yeah, it can be that way, then we're sort of holding back and saying, yeah, it probably can't be that way. And so, therefore, we have every justification in the world of trying to arrive at that enlightened, transcendent state of consciousness where there's no argument and where our own non-resistance will dissolve everything that seems to be resistant, that, oh, it maybe can't be that way. No, it all goes away. And so we're dealing with this kind of transcendence, and we may as well know it, because expectancy speeds progress. And if we don't have a conviction that it can be, we're going to have a conviction that probably it can't. And that we ought to be more like the sun that just shines non-resistantly, persistently. It hasn't had any weakness that requires it to assert itself. It doesn't have to demand its right to exist or scream how hot it is. It is as a state of being, and we have to do that. So let's do that. Let's just know the truth about that we are of this creation. We live and breathe within it. And to the extent to which we know that and believe that and function within that and live that way, aware, that's the extent to which we have access to the truth of it, the full access, the evolutionary truth of it. And so at the end of this chapter, he refers back to his Santa Monica, California group. And I'd like to apply it to this group. I don't know what this group is called. Today it's Sterling Study Group, but it's also the other group that has more words in its name. But this combination of groups. So let's treat this group, this combo group, that way. And we know to come here, who comes here are the just and the good and wise and those who can receive this message in joy and happiness, in recognition and with resolve to use it. And we know that the people who come here are blessed by being here, and everyone who is here is healed. It's a transcendent experience for all of us. And so whoever can be helped and healed is drawn here because that's what we're saying is the truth. And so there's transcendence in us. There is originating power and force and will and consciousness, the know-how, no matter what you call it, it's all here and it's a real self. And so let's do another thing. Let's know we have great joy in life, that everything we touches is made whole, is healed. And that's our will, our desire, our acceptance, that everything we touch shall bring into joy and happiness and laughter and truth and beauty. And that when these things spring into its own self-existence and the light of its own truth and the love of its own givingness, the power of its own self-existence, let's see if we cannot know that without any conscious effort, everything we touch is healed, every person, every situation, and then without any effort, this perception continues to be with us, that nothing, that there's nothing operating but the truth, and nor can anything ever be that way other than the truth. We embrace the universe and everything in it and love it. It's beautiful. We are perfect beings living in a perfect universe, surrounded by perfect beings and perfect situations, and we shall admit nothing else. And so it is. Blessed be.
Thank you.
And I don't read so much. Usually it's like, oh yeah, that's what this is about. Now we'll talk about it. I can't talk about that. It's like, here it is. And so I read. But I love that, you know, why doesn't the Bible explain this? Well, because the Bible doesn't give you a recipe for pancakes, much less something like this. It's like, yeah, the Bible was a long time ago. The 1950s, in another way, are a long time ago. And now here we are, where this is a truth and a way of being that our brain, our intellect say, yeah, we get that. And so now it's a you know, in the 50s, people were saying, oh, I don't know. What about our, you know, what we grew up knowing as the truth, going to church or whatever? Well, it's way different now. Now it's like, oh, mainstream. Yes, we all know this. We all breathe it. Yeah. And so really it's about, well, are we being it? So the end.